passing the baton securely requires the courage to obey God.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. A society that forgets its spiritual heritage is a society at risk. Tonight's message from Pastor Brian Grant, taken from the first chapter of the book of Judges, is a case study of just such a failure to pass on the important things of God to the succeeding generation. Listen with us now as Pastor Grant brings his message entitled, Passing the Baton to the Next Generation. This message is the sequel to Pastor Grant's message, Raising Children in a Hostile World. Here now is Pastor Grant.
One of the most difficult things in a sprint relay is the passing of the baton. You can ask Alison Felix, for that great American sprinter dropped the baton in the women's 4x100 relay at the 2016 Olympics in Rio. Anybody remembers that? USA was actually ahead when she ended the third leg. She was ahead at the end of the third leg, but as she passed the baton to English Gardner, the baton was dropped, dashing America's hopes of beating the feared Jamaica's women's sprint relay. But although she knew that, hey, picking up the baton and trying to finish the race, she knew she was going to be dead last. They were going to be dead last. But that's exactly what Alison Felix did. She encouraged her teammate to pick up the baton and finish the race. And some of you may remember the big, big, big drama that happened after that. For it was discovered that Brazil had encroached in America's lane. And so the race had to be run over. But since she had actually finished the race, she was not disqualified. So she was qualified to run. America now had a chance at winning the race. And in the final showdown, USA beat Team Jamaica and won the gold medal. Alison Felix had, despite the difficulty, she had overcome. Passing the baton in a relay is difficult, but it pales in comparison to the responsibility God has given us to securely pass our spiritual baton to the next generation. And my theme today is passing the baton to the next generation. And although it is Father's Day, I'd like to make it clear that this message is not just for fathers. It's for fathers, it's for mothers, it's for all of us, whether you have children or not, for our children and our teenagers are being impacted by all of us, and every one of us needs to make sure we are making a godly impact so we will safely and securely pass the baton of faith to the next generation. Joshua was a man of great faith and courage and was one of Israel's greatest leaders. And just before he died, he took steps to pass the baton to the next generation. And I want you to meet me here in the book of Joshua, chapter 23 and verses 1 to 6. We're going to spend the whole message in Joshua, just at the end of Joshua and into Judges. And I know this was no easy passage to read, but thank God that you hung in there and you did a perfect job. So thank you very, very much. Hey, I hope some of you saw some of the names here, because some of you who aren't fathers yet, you need to make sure you name your children by some of these wonderful names in the text. I'm at Joshua chapter 23, verse 1 to 6. Now it came to pass, a long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua was old and advanced in age, and Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders, their heads, their judges, and for their officers, and said to them, I am old, advanced in age. You have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. See, I have divided to you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from the Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off as far as the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, listen good, as he passes the baton, he says, the Lord your God will expel all these nations from before you and drive them out of your sight. So you shall possess their land as the Lord your God promised you. Therefore, listen to verse 6, therefore be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. Therefore, verse 6, be what? Be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the word of God. Put that in your notes. Listen, passing the baton securely requires the courage to obey God. You know, it's sad, but it's true. But even when we are with other Christians, we sometimes need courage to obey God. Am I right about that? Because if we're not careful, sometimes we're hanging with Christians and we think it's okay to do it because they're doing it. We need courage to obey God. Amen. But when we obey God, amazing things happen. When we obey God, amazing things happen. And so I'm jumping from the verses we were reading, and I'm jumping down to Joshua 23. I'm now at verse number 8. But you shall hold fast to the Lord your God. You shall cling to the Lord your God as you have done for this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations. But as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you as he promised. Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God, or else, if indeed you go back and cling to the remnants of these nations, these that remain among you, and make marriages with them, and go into them, and they abate, and they too know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges on your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Listen, young person, older person, don't ever believe that because you're a Christian, you can do anything you want. It ain't gonna work. And God warns them, so put this in your notes, true success happens when we cling only to God. True success happens when we cling only to God, because God is saying, hey, if you cling to anybody else, if you cling to some of these other nations, watch out. Although I am committed to blessing you, listen, if you cling to any other God, I will turn against you. God desires to do some amazing things for us and for the next generation, but this is conditional. After Joshua died, things started off very, very well. And if you flip over to Judges, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. That's why I had so many of the verses read. But I just want to give you a sample of how well things were going. Judges chapter 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall be first to go up for us against the Canaanites? The Lord said, Judah shall go. And Judah went. So Judah said to verse 3, said to Simeon, his brother, come up with me to my allotted territory that we may fight against the Canaanites. And I will likewise go with you to yours. And Simeon went. Then Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hands. They killed 10,000 men. And on it goes. And it tells us about Adonai, Bezek. Listen, They were having success after success. Why? Why were they having success after success? It is because they were clinging to God and obeying Him. They were determined to do what God wanted them to do. Listen, young person, older person, daddy, mommy, if you decide today that I'm going to cling to God regardless of the other attractions and allures in the world, God is saying if you decide to cling to Him, that He is going to bless you and amazing things will happen in your life. But He warns the exact opposite. Despite the fact that you have come to Jesus, if you decide I'm going to just live the way I want because I've got my ticket to heaven, listen, watch out. Some of the dreams, some of the things that God would have done in your life and for your family, you will forfeit because you have chosen to cling to the wrong person or to the wrong thing. But let me give you a word of caution. Sometimes when God is working our lives, it may not be exactly what we have in mind. Because you see, sometimes you may listen to what I just said and you say, well, no matter what I dream, God is going to give me my dream. Did I say that? Did God say that? God is going to give you far and above beyond your dream. But it might be totally opposite to what you have in mind. I'll never forget when I was a teenager, my dad's decision, some of you know the story, my dad made a decision to stand for truth. It caused him to leave a very lucrative job. And although we were clinging to God, and He saved our home, we lost most of the trappings we had. All the fancy cars we had, we lost all them stuff. I'll never forget, I was now driving a Vauxhall Viva. When I put it out to test it and gave it a good run, the thing was so broken up, the hood flew up in front of me. Couldn't see a thing. That's not what I had in mind would happen when my dad chose to follow God. We were clinging to Him. But listen, my dad, God had a totally different plan. Because he had determined to change the trajectory of our lives. And so my dad's life was totally, it was almost like a part one and a part two. Part one, he was walking with God and serving God and doing wonderful things and leading his children in the pathway. But listen, part two, my father now became much more involved in missions and ministry. Co-started one of the churches that still exists today in Trenchtown, started a number of things in the Christian world, including Ben Salem, Home for the Age, where some of our ministry leaders went recently, a few years ago. Just a lot of stuff my father did that was ministry-related. And it was at Cana where God grabbed a hold of my life. It was at Cana where I first tasted ministry. It was at Cana where I learned it. I had God grew me and gave me the courage to stand despite being held at gunpoint as I shared the gospel. Listen, it was at Cana my life took on a totally different meaning. God was blessing us, but in a totally different way than the way we were expecting. You understand what I'm saying? And my friends, sometimes God will change the script that you had in mind, but I thank God today that my dad had the courage to cling to God. And I want to ask you, parents, are you clinging to God? If we were to ask your kids, would they say, my dad, my mom, she is clinging to God. They only want to do the things that please God. Oh, I tell you, what a difference it's going to make. What have we said? Passing the baton securely requires the courage to obey God. And would to God this morning that some of us may have that courage. It may mean a different plan than the path you're on. But second, passing the baton securely requires a sincere dedication. As Joshua prepared Israel for life without him, he asked them to make a sincere dedication to the Lord. I mean, Joshua chapter 24. And verse 14 says, now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And he says, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. What a challenge. Joshua says, if it seems like the wrong thing to serve the Lord, well, choose who you want to serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I remember that was the plaque in our home. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Is that where you are? You know, it's always amazing to me that sometimes parent of a 13-year-old will come to me and say, I can't force my son to come to church. He's 13 years old. He can make up his mind for himself. And I always wonder when I hear that, if that 13-year-old also has a choice about whether he's going to school or not. We always say these crazy things. You see, mom, dad, there is a grown-up in the house, or there ought to be at least one grown-up, amen? And the grown-up is the one who ought to be making this choice. And Joshua said, as far as I'm concerned, I have made a choice. And the choice, he says, as for me and my house, we will serve what? We will serve the Lord. Listen, have you made that choice yet? Have you made that decision that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? Joshua knew that many of these people would first have to clean house. For although they had seen, this is unbelievable. But if you study the text, you'll find out that a lot of these Jewish people still had idols in their house. Can you imagine that? Here they are walking with God. They're seeing the awesome things God is doing. But some of them still had idols in their house. The text told you that. Look, verse 14. He says, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. They still had those gods that they brought from Egypt. Some got some new gods while they were in the wilderness. Some gods that have absolutely no power. And sadly, some of us are clinging to all sorts of stuff. So before we throw these people under the bus, let's be honest. Because sometimes if we're not careful, we're still looking over the fence. Am I right? We're still trying to see, what did we miss in our BC days? You remember when all these children of Israel were in the wilderness and they're starting to say how great it was. Oh, I wish we were by those pots with all that great food. They were starving to death while they're in Egypt. All of a sudden now, the memory of Egypt gets so much better. You know, when on our 10th anniversary, Cheryl and I decided to pay our first visit to London. And to save money, you know, that's been big for me, I found a reasonably priced 2-star hotel. And I prepaid before I left because I didn't want no surprises when I got to London. So I prepaid for everything. But the day of our arrival, our transfer from Paris was delayed. So by the time we made it to London, our room had been given away. Well, they offered me a refund, but I made it clear I was not looking for a refund. I was looking for a room. So they had to check all the other 2-star hotels in the chain. There were no rooms. They went to the 3-star hotels. There was no room. They went to the 4-star hotels. There was no room. The only room was in a 5-star luxury hotel. Somebody say amen. Amen. Only place was a 5-star and the only room was a suite. Oh, my goodness. And I didn't even have to take a cab. They sent a limo. It was one of the finest hotels in London. The limo came to pick us up and dropped us. Can you imagine us two star tenants in the limo? Dropped us off at the hotel. We checked in, went up. Oh, my goodness. I never seen Persian. I don't even think we've seen any Persian carpet so fine since that day. The rugs were just amazing. What a lovely experience. Of course, the next morning when we woke up, it was time for breakfast. And I said to my wife, honey, we're only here because it's free, but we can't afford to eat here. So I went around the corner and found a nice, cheap, greasy spoon breakfast. And every day we had our greasy spoon breakfast. But one day my wife was sick. I was still hoping she could make it to our little greasy spoon, but she was a little struggling. So reluctantly, I said, okay, honey, I guess you'll have to order room service. My idea at first was, why don't I just buy something and bring it back? But she was insistent. She was here. She wanted to experience this food. Well, when I came back to the hotel, I knew we were in trouble, because breakfast was served and all this incredible, all the silverware, all the roses. It was unbelievable. What a presentation. Well, finally, it was time to check out. I went and I got the bill. And you can imagine how I was breathing hard. I went to the gentleman, looked at the bill. I went back to the desk. I said, there's a mistake here. He said, sir, what's the problem? I said, sir, well, of course, I'm a good Christian man. They're charging me nothing, and we had the breakfast. I said, sir, the thing says nothing. There's no charge. I said, but my wife did eat. The gentleman said, sir, breakfast for two. Whether you eat in the restaurant or we room service is free every day. I spent the whole week. The whole week eating junk and getting indigestion when the best breakfast Britain had to offer was available to me, paid in full. Oh, I hope you got where I'm going with it this morning. Through the work of Christ, God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Amen. Amen. Everything we need, come on now, everything we need to live a victorious and an abundant life has been paid in full.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.